just like you always said.
We're going to, everybody, I'm just saying this out loud so it's on the recording. We're going to record the meeting, the continuation of the meeting, and I apologize for not doing that sooner. Okay, let me go back to share the screen.
We're almost. Members present.
We're almost there.
So present. Yeah, we're almost on the finish line.
Rachel, members present.
Oh, yes. Oh, members present besides Remlin Yamanaka, who's the representative from the Guam Cancer Trust Fund, is Kathy Castro, Rose Greeno, and Yvette Paulino, and myself, Rachel Leon Guerrero. And Ken was not able to join today because he was dealing with an illness in the family. Okay, so anything else in Section 11, selection criteria?
Gosh.
No, that's
very, yeah, boy.
It's good. Very thorough.
Okay, yeah, I think so. Very thorough. Okay. All right, up to number 12, the grant application review and approval. Okay, A, each fiscal year, the university shall determine the amount of money available for funds. And then number two, the maximum award amount for each type of application. This actually should probably be direct services or education and outreach, right? It's kind of confusing.
Rachel, you need to talk about the section that you removed on eligibility.
Yes, we removed.
You need to note that.
Yes, just to note that under eligibility review, we took out section A that said the university shall convene an evaluation committee known as the Guam Cancer Trust Fund Council, consisting of three members appointed by the president, or shall contract with one or more external consultants with the appropriate expertise to review the applications that are submitted for funding under GCTF and recommended funding. We took that out because really it just should be the council members.
Okay.
We all agree that it'll just be the council members. So it'll just be the quorum. Yeah. Thank you, Kathy. Okay. Okay. So back to section 12A2, this part here, the maximum award amount. I'm thinking maybe we should just change, it says, example, screening, diagnosis, treatment, support, which that's not how we divide it up. We divide it up by direct services and education and outreach, and I think we should change that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to specify what that is, since we already know that I think it's 15% to education and outreach?
Actually, no, sorry. It's not 75%. It's actually 90%.
There what is. Can we just copy? I think you have that some.
Yes.
Just copy.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Part B, the Guam Cancer Trust Fund Council members shall review grant applications based on, oh gosh, it's right here.
Well, what was the one on top?
But you know what? A lot of it is kind of the same. It's weird that it's repeated the same. Okay, so the need for the proposed activity, previously documented effectiveness of the treatment or service, degree to which the proposed activities will achieve the goals and objectives set forth in the plan, the degree to which a grant application addresses eliminating documented cancer for racial or ethnic minorities?
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
And didn't we remove that?
Yeah, let's remove that.
Because remember, Ken brought up the issue of having this.
We removed that from our previous.
Yeah, let's remove that. I agree. Okay. Experience of the applicant in such activities.
What does that mean?
I guess if they have experience doing
that. So like Catholic Social Services experience in respite care.
Oh,
okay. Foundation experience in giving out.
Okay.
Miles.
Yeah.
Giving out mileage, I don't know.
Helping people with travel words.
How about for D, can we put application team?
The experience of the application team?
Right, because I think with some of them, they would bring on specialized...
like consultants.
Members,
yeah.
Right, like consultant or... I think we made a couple of recommendations in some applications.
Are we opening ourselves up to having them contract for profit people? Because that was a conversation earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want them to be able to contract businesses that are for profit and using them as the middleman just to get the grant. We have to be careful of how we word that.
Okay. Do we want to say within the grant, within the funding?
I would just probably put the experience of the application team and we'll determine.
And maybe put in a statement there that if they wish to get a consultant, they need to come back to the council and get approval. So it'll be a case by case. In other words, the council will decide if the consultant is legitimate or not. I mean, you know, that they could use it or not. Then we can check with legal or something. Do we want to put it in that way?
So then we probably need to put it somewhere.
Not there.
As a different.
Yeah, the other.
I mean, I get how they're going to need sometimes to get a consultant. I get that. But we just don't want them to use a for-profit business to use a nonprofit as a means to get
maybe in letter E, any other supporting materials related to funding requests, and then probably and should be a consultant is needed. Yeah.
Okay.
Should that consultant be requested?
Number F.
Yeah, number F, like.
If a consultant is part of the
prior approval from the council must be sought.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
Must be requested.
Sought. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, requested. Yeah.
Requested.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah, and approve. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If a paid consultant?
Yeah.
Or just consultant?
Just consultant. They will pay.
Okay. Okay. We'll leave it at that. All right. So then it makes sense for your application team. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll leave it like.
Yeah. Okay. The amount of funding requests, the feasibility of the timeline and delivering the goals, which, you know, the extent to which medical guidelines for screening, diagnosis, and or treatment are being followed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe just say if applicable.
Okay.
Because maybe mm-hmm. it will apply to certain types of applications.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, after viewing each grant application, the Guam Cancer Trust Fund Council shall make a recommendation to the university about whether to approve the application and amount of funding.
Mm-hmm.
Did I put university president?
President.
Okay. You want to put president, or it's always been a president, or can he have a designee?
Well, he's the one else that signs it.
Yeah. Okay.
So it should be him. Okay. The BU university president shall review.
Can we rewind that to say the president of the university instead of university president?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Shall review each cancer treatment application. I'll just say application.
Grant application.
Yeah, each based on completeness, availability, process, track record.
Does he do that or do we do that?
Yeah, we do that.
Maybe
take this out.
Because by the time it gets to him, we've done all the due diligence, right?
Right.
Yeah, so maybe take this out. After reviewing, the Guam Cancer Trust Fund shall make a recommendation to the president. The president of the university shall...
Maybe you should put that as C and say, we shall do all of that and then forward it to the president. So that should be us. And then we send it to him.
Yeah, because if you look at number E, the Guam Cancer Trust shall recommend an application to the president. So I think we should just do this based on their this is where it's funny because, so this is when we're existing under that system of having a committee. So the committee gives it to the president. The president says, yeah. And then they give it to the council and the council says, yeah. So I think I think actually we take out this section too, because it's really just going from the president and then the president shall consider the award and
once
make the
it
final
gets to him, he sends the contract, right?
Yeah. And he signs it.
So we give recommendation.
Yeah, so we make a recommendation about whether to approve it, and then the president then just does that.
Yeah. Yeah. Streamline the process. Yep.
Simple process, better.
Yeah.
Okay. And then applicants will be notified of the results within 90 days of the receipt of a completed application that meets all the requirements. Okay, before I move on to E, are we good with this section A, B, C, and D?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Okay. Section E, 90 days. So successful applicants will receive a grant specifying the amount, duration, and the conditions of the award, and the offer will be in the form of a binding contract. B, recipients will be required to sign and accept to return the offer within 15 days. Should I say calendar days or business days? Just to...
Maybe business days?
Business days.
Okay, because Anthony Camacho was going by calendar days.
Yeah, let's go business days.
Okay.
Well, if we, following that, the very last one that signed their contract was way beyond that because you had to keep going back to them.
Yeah.
So automatically, because they didn't sign within 15, because this is the current one, right?
Yeah.
Their application would have been null and void, right?
Let's do calendar. I mean, come on, if people can't respond in 2 weeks, then... they must not really want it. Okay. Failure to execute of the agreement within 15 calendar days may result in the cancellation of the grant. The president.
Cancellation or forfeiture.
The forfeiture, yeah.
Because.
Of the grant award.
Well, I don't know, would it not? Yeah, because it's already a contract. As I was gonna say, is it an award? But yes, because it's a contract already.
Yeah.
Calendar dates.
Sorry, I'm just putting this in because we've had so many nitpicky things about timeline.
Oh yeah.
I just
think.
Yeah.
We're covered. Okay. Recipient will have 45 calendar days from the date of acceptance to submit the contract documents, including the complete plans and specs, to the appropriate reviewing entities. Okay. Okay. And an award period expires 1 year from the date of the award of the grant and not necessarily at the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
All good. Right.
That's
yes.
That's it. We're almost there. Okay, section 13. All right, this is a lot of what Remlin and Eb had put together. Award payments. The university may award a percentage of the award in startup costs for new applicants only as agreed to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Two, payments provided on a reimbursement basis. Grantee shall submit monthly invoices and receipts or a copy of supporting documents authenticated by signature of the executive officer of the grantee, which indicates funds for reimbursed expenses. Yeah, I think we went over this.
Yeah, we're good in this.
And anyway, this section really is more legal to look at than us.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we want to, and then progress reports.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Wait, it's 6 months? We asked for a progress report in 6 months?
An interim report describing the progress of the award due 6 months after the award is accepted.
Can we make it quarterly?
Yeah,
because
sure.
That's when we will know if they need an extension because they're, you know, if we make it quarterly, it's every 3 months they update us on how far the program's going.
Quick question, who will be monitoring this?
That's Remlin's job.
Remlin.
Yeah.
Thank you, Remlin.
That's why I'm making it Remlin quarterly.
Because Remlin it's us.
Remlin was looking for the other report to the council.
Otherwise, we'll go back to 6 months or 12 months.
No, but I knew it was Remlin. That's why I said, can we make it quarterly? Not a job anymore.
So she was voluntold.
I just want her to know how important she is.
Very important.
Yes.
Okay. And then so interim quarterly reports describing the process. Progress of the award due every 3 months after the award is accepted. And comprehensive final report due no later than 90 days after the date the award period ends. That provides a summary of all the activity conducted under the award. Okay. Sorry, let me make this bigger. Okay. Ownership of the equipment. Not used during the grant period must be reported in the final report. These items will be dispersed according to the terms of the grant.
So does that mean they're ours?
You know, that's a really good question because Guam Cancer Trust, let me back up. One of our grantees in the past purchased a vehicle, I believe.
Yeah.
So.
But it technically belongs to UOG, right? Can you check?
The trust fund, technically.
Yeah.
So that should not have been approved. They should have leased a car and done it that way.
But at least moving forward, we want it clear that if they buy any kind of equipment, whether it be a copy machine, a laptop computer, that belongs to the Cancer Trust Fund.
Yeah.
sole ownership belongs to the Cancer Trust Fund, to your office. So it's got to be written in there, though.
Okay.
So my question is, what happens if they purchase a wheelchair for a patient? That's an equipment.
So we can actually, those are, you know, we call it a dispense equipment, and some of that, and the one that they cannot, or I don't know how we can. Oh, no, that's considered a DME cat. So we can, medical equipment. We kind of have to give that to the patient.
Yeah, it says here, if it's not used during the grant period, it must be reported. So yeah. I guess if they purchase a wheelchair and they give it out, then that would be legit. Okay. As long as they
report it. Like a vehicle, they're using it during the grant period.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder, I didn't really look into it in their report, if there, because some of them has been using the Cancer Trust Fund for many, many years. And of course, they bought some equipment. And was they also reporting the depreciation of those equipment?
So
some of them might not have a value. It belongs to Guam Cancer Trust Fund. It might have a zero value because it's already fully depreciated. I don't know where I'm going to.
Yeah, I think that was done in the past, and I think that was a mistake to allow them to purchase a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And I think in the future, we just have to really discourage that. And if they want to do their transport services to just, you know.
They have to figure it out.
They have to figure it out. They can lease it. Or they can get one of their donors to purchase it.
I'm thinking of things like a laptop, a cell phone, a computer. Why don't they purchase those kind of things?
Yeah, but those easily can be depreciated.
Yeah, but still, at the end of the grant here, let's say they decide they're not going to continue this specific and it's only a year old. They decide they want to do another program. Does that belong to you?
Well, you know what? Technically, like with other grants at the university, if a computer was purchased with, say, EBSCOR money, and then that person leaves the EBSCOR project, technically it's supposed to be given to the EBSCOR program. It belongs to them.
Yeah.
A lot of times, though, we just let the faculty take the computer or whatever because it's already 2 or 3 years old. And, you know, what are we going to do with a 3-year-old computer that's probably already out of date? But, I mean, for those organizations that if they use their grant money to purchase a computer system and then 1 year later they're like, okay, I'm not going to submit it. Not going to continue then.
This program because it wasn't working well or we couldn't see it through. Yeah. So we're gonna ask the program and do something else next year.
So we wanna put, like, shall keep an inventory of all equipment purchased, including its depreciation value. So that you know if it's still valuable or not, it still can be.
Okay.
I know what you're saying, Patty. If they bought an equipment like 6 months old or 3 months old and then they stopped the program for some reason, they should at least give that back to the to the Guam Cancer Trust Fund so you can give that to the other, you know.
So what were you saying, Rose? Shall keep an inventory of all equipment purchased
including its depreciation value? I don't know. Probably... We might ask the legal for a right term. Because, you know, every time we buy something, so we always look at the depreciation value on that. Because we know if it's still it still can be sold again, or it can still be utilized, or considered like already no value as an equipment. I think. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I put this and or replacement value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that would flow into may not transfer the equipment to another entity without the written permission. At least for us, council, when we look at the inventory of the equipment, we know all this is still good, this is not good. This can be utilized by the other organization. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Two more pages, guys. 14 out of 16.
Yeah. Okay. So, termination. The university may terminate an award if the grantee fails to comply with the requirements of these regulations or Guam federal laws applicable to the performance of the award. B, if a grantee fails to carry out the purpose for which the award was awarded, the grantee has defaulted or has not substantially performed in compliance with the court orders of the grantee upon recommendation and approval by the university president. And if the funds allocated are reduced, depleted, or unavailable from the government during the award period, and the university is unable to obtain additional funding for such purposes. Okay. Actually, I think Anthony Camacho, a lot of this other stuff for the remaining, he's probably going to be the main person that will have...
Question on 14. Why are we getting patients' medical records? We have no business getting that. We shouldn't even have that.
Well, yeah, patients' medical records are confidential.
But we shouldn't even be asking for that at all. HIPAA.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Any report
because remember
patient.
That was their issue is they didn't want to give us names and we said just give us numbers or assign them a code or because we shouldn't have patient records at all. We shouldn't have any confidential patient information or even period names, nothing.
Yeah, but the statement is where the written consent of the patient or by the written order.
But it doesn't matter. The trust fund shouldn't have it. It should not, we should not be asking for that.
In a report,
we're putting them in a situation. I mean, think of it as you, Rose, if we asked you for the patient records because you are a grantee or American Cancer Society, they cannot. That's HIPAA.
Yeah, but it says there that we gave you the identifying information, though.
If we say, start out.
Remove medical records.
Reward that language in there.
I would like to say that no patient information will be given or to the Cancer Trust Fund. So that releases us from any liability.
Right.
Because yeah, if we're asking, we're liable. We shouldn't be asking.
So patient information is confidential and copies of
patient records?
Of patient.
Sorry.
And patient-related information.
All I'm saying is we shouldn't be asking for it.
Okay, let me put them on. I'm gonna put myself on mute. Okay, go ahead, guys.
May only be released upon the written consent of the patient involved or by written court order.
But why are we asking for it? Why would we be asking for it? Why would we need it?
We don't ask for it.
Yeah, so we shouldn't even have that section there. We should just remove it.
So you want to remove confidentiality of records? The whole thing?
I think maybe if we state something about not requiring it, however...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
However, should it come across us, I don't know, if somebody inadvertently gives it to us, that we will protect that information or something like that. But I think maybe it's...
Where the liability is released. We are released from any liability because we never asked for it in the beginning. Even if they accidentally give it to us, we are not liable. It's the NPO that's liable for giving it to us because they messed up. But I'm trying to make sure we are not liable because we never asked for it. And there's nowhere in our rules and regs that says we are asking right. for it.
Okay, so maybe just a statement and then that we do not ask for any records.
Yeah. You get where I'm coming from, right?
Yeah, I get.
Because we ask them for patient, for data, but data is assigned with some sort of
identifier.
Number.
Identifier. Yeah.
We don't ask for name or anything like that. We don't ask for what their diagnosis. We don't ask what kind of cancer they have because none of that that's none of our business. That's between them and the organization.
Okay, so
maybe take the last sentence or something related to that in part C and end that section of part A, like something like, therefore GCTF is not liable for any.
Correct.
Confidential information.
For divulging any, something like that, on section C.
Yeah, will not be held liable for.
Not just GCTF, but even the university release.
So, no individual providing confidential information. So therefore,
so that makes the university just as culpable.
Okay. So therefore, in the event that patient's information inadvertently,
given to the university and or
the concert or the
how do I say this? We shall not be held.
Shall not be held liable.
Yes.
Something
for. Shall not be
deemed. We shall not be deemed
to be or held liable. Yeah, deemed to be or held liable. Deemed to be.
Okay. So, do we need this part B?
I don't think so.
That's what I was saying. Is we need to remove that. And then legal can take a look at it and figure out.
That covers everything.
Yeah, they can, if he wants to add more information, then we'll let him do that.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe she wants the lawyer's language into that.
Yeah.
Call it the lawyer's language.
As long as I don't have to go to jail.
Yeah.
Okay. 15, general terms and provisions.
That's more of his language legal terms.
Can we leave that to him?
Yeah, let's leave it to him. Then we're done.
Yay. Oh my god, yay. I see the word end.
It's a marathon.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So I just have a suggestion. Oh, sorry, Kat. I know we went through a lot that Remlin. Maybe just scrub through. We do like university president, the president of the university. Just make it consistent across the board, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Another set of eyes.
And the numbering. The numbering, yeah. It's all weird. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'll take a look at it.
Okay, I'll send it to you right after this.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, thank you. We should, we gotta celebrate.
Ask a question now?
Yes, go ahead.
Can we prevent them from spending money on certain things? Like, I know one entity does, what is it, Kids for a Cure? And part of the program is providing them with t-shirts.
Okay.
So swags, you know, providing them with t-shirts or the little cooler bags or water bottles or things like that. The funds are very limited. They're going to be limited in the future for the next several years. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see it go. I understand education, but I'm sure there's other ways to be able to teach the kids as opposed to saying, well, you did, you know, 17 push-ups. Here's a t-shirt because you completed the Kids for a Cure program.
Well, we did say
I'm just asking.
Education and outreach, what's allowable, office supplies.
Yeah, it doesn't say there are other supplies that they are.
Salaries. You know what we could do? Well, if you two, we could put something here. How would we say that?
Yeah, that was my question. Is how would you tighten that up?
You know, maybe what we could say is, although not strictly forbidden, grantees are discouraged from using Guam Cancer Trust Fund funds for purchasing
promotional items. Promotional, yeah. And incentive items. Promotional and incentive items. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, like, I think, let's see.
I mean, is that okay to say that?
Yeah, well, we can say something like this. Although not expressly forbidden.
Or maybe get prior approval from the council.
Are discouraged from using Guam Cancer Trust Fund funds for promotional...
incentive items.
Promotional... And
incentive items
such as t-shirts,
swags,
t-shirts, swags, logos,
logo items, etc. But is it okay to say that?
Why not? Well, it's not completely forbidden. They're just discouraged. Okay. And which means they need to really justify. Justification is required. Justification to purchase.
We got $1 million this year. And we gave out, what, 5 grants? Is that what we did? 4 grants?
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if we're even going to get $1 million in the next fiscal year. Oh, and I really want to see this go to helping the patient. I mean, if we had all this excess money, it doesn't matter. Let them do it. But we really got to tighten up how they...
They can use their fundraising money.
And stuff like that, you know? Those sweatband, what's it, bracelets? The silicone bracelets, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you got swags in there, logo items, is
etc. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think we got it.
The worst thing that they can do is say, take that out.
Exactly. 5 o'clock, guys. You guys are all awesome.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome. You ladies
you guys
are awesome.
Too.
We finished it. Yeah. We'll send this to Anthony tomorrow. Yeah. First
thing. You know what? We spent more time saying we got to do this than we did in doing it. You know, because we've been saying it since last year, right?
Yeah. I take it back. We've been saying this 2 years ago. <I'm Yeah. dead>.
Yep. Well, thank you, ladies. I'm very I'm proud to be a part of this group.
Thank you so much.
Have a good evening.
Okay,
take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.